This is Talent in the Age of AI, the podcast helping leaders navigate what AI means for their people, their culture, and their future. We talk with the thinkers and practitioners shaping how we work, learn, and lead, and what it takes to keep talent growing in a world that's constantly changing. We create, curate, and connect the insights and the community that helps leaders build AI confidence in themselves and in their teams. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Talent in the Age of AI podcast, where we discuss how AI is working in the talent development, HR, and executive leadership spheres. Our partner in bringing you this podcast is What's Good Productions at whatsgoodproductions.com and the fabulous Brianna Jovan. I'm so excited about our guest today, and I think she has extremely relevant information for everyone in corporations that is struggling or wondering or even trying how to incorporate AI in this world of talent development, succession, leadership development, et cetera, because Sarah Truchard is the manager of talent and leadership development at Citco, a firm with around 3,400 employees across the nation. And she and her team are very, I call it, enthusiastically and with clear processes infusing AI into what they do to bring people up and give them the kind of training, leadership skills, et cetera, that they need in the organization. And so she's incorporating the Clifton ICF skills and then dovetailing AI with all that to guide employees toward best and highest use of AI versus denying that it needs to be used or disallowing it or vague policies. I think they're very specific, and Sarah will tell you more about that, with particular emphasis on the Clifton processes, but also her program called Fueling Good Leaders, which dovetails into Citco's tag, Fueling Good, which as a marketer, I really love. Mm-hmm. And so without further ado, I'm happy to introduce you to Sarah Truchard.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here today.
Sarah, did I give an adequate tee up to what you're doing, you and your very small team that make a lot happen?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, as you were speaking to it, I was like, whoa, it is a lot. You don't think about it until someone else says it out loud.
Well, I know I'm impressed. Will you start with an overview of what your team does? And then everyone's really interested in how you incorporate AI, but we still need to understand an even playing field with what your peers out there listening today are going to understand and say, yes, I do that, and I need to do that too, and I do that. So you're at a even playing field, but how you're incorporating AI into all the responsibilities that all of you people have out there.
Sure, absolutely. So in our day-to-day, our function oversees performance management, succession planning, employee engagement, onboarding like day one, not the recruiting side. That is a separate department here at Citco. Our leadership development, and then our individual development as well. And so we oversee all those facets, including the learning management system. And we're working to infuse AI within all facets of those different pieces of what we touch. There are some that are on the baby steps, and then some that we are a little bit more ingrained in, and we can talk about that today.
Can I just ask the big question? You're a forerunner in this, and you're a leader in it. What was your why in embracing it? I mean, it sounds like you've had it on the list for some time, and you've worked to incorporate it. Why?
Honestly, trial and error myself, right? And so you look at the AI components, and you think it's a little bit scary. This is a little bit interesting how it can take my work that I've been working on for hours and turn it into a 5-minute, production. It's like, whoa, that's cool. And it also has its scaries attached to it. And so I think it was a matter of myself kind of figuring out, is this relevant? Is it going to give me an output that I would be okay and comfortable delivering? And so after playing with it a little bit and realizing, wow, this actually can help amplify what we're doing. It's not going to replace what we're doing. We said, let's do it. And we can stay within the parameters that our IT governance has set. And let's see what we can make of it.
So that's what I was going to ask you, how the C-level suite was okay with you adopting this, but you have some IT parameters is what you just said.
Yes. So our C-suite had introduced the fact that we have Copilot that we can use here. And we also have, it's ChatGPT. We call it Citgo GPT. So you can upload specific data that's got all of the confidentiality pieces that we can't let AI discover and learn from because it's confidential in nature. So we have that internally. So when it's something of that nature, we can use that lever. But then it's when it's more generic, we can still use our Copilot license and expand out, which is what we use for a lot of our things related to leadership and Clifton Strengths, because there's a big repository of data outside of CITGO for that.
Will you talk to how you incorporate AI with the Clifton Strengths?
Oh, so that, again, trial and error, right? We said, how can we develop some interesting, you know, breakout sessions with Clifton Strengths? So just to back up a slight bit, so we formerly had DISC in place at CITGO prior to myself and my team coming on board just a little over 3 years ago. And none of us were DISC certified, but I had one team member who was Clifton Strengths certified, and I had done it in the past. And so had some of my peers, like, well, this is great and it's a reinforceable training, so let's do this. And so once we did that, we're like, now let's develop a program around it, because we did not want the one and done, oh, I know what my top strengths are, I'll just sit them over here in the corner and not worry about it. How do you develop that into your everyday speak, not only with your team, but others that you work with? So we started to come up with a program on how to reinforce the learning and use some AI prompts to say, how would someone with responsibility who has 7 or 8 projects to do and has a hard time delegating because they are high in responsibility, what would you do with that person? And you come up with the different prompts, and then you have people work through is, how would you have that conversation with someone to help them to get better at delegating? Or how do you get someone who is lower in responsibility when you're higher in responsibility? How do you close that gap so you can have a communication that doesn't feel like I'm pouring out my, I have to get it done on you and making you feel like you're under pressure? So it's helped us to reinforce those conversations and have some real life examples so that people can have breakout sessions to talk through it in a more meaningful way.
I think that's so important, because we've all done, you know, Myers-Briggs and DISC and Emergenetics and everything else, but it's applying that to real communication between two people or in teams of people. And so it sounds like you've really identified ways to put it to work.
It's been fun, yes. And I think, again, it's trial and error. So either my team will try it, or I will try it, or collectively we try it. Like, this prompt works the best, use this prompt. And so we've actually taken certain prompts in the exact way they work and say, try this, and you plug in your strengths and see what comes out. It's been a lot of fun.
So tell us about your program, Fueling Good Leaders. It's 4 steps, if I understand it, and it's just, I wish I could go through it. Will you hire me at CITGO so I can go through it?
Sure, come on board. We can always meet good people. Fueling Good Leaders started actually as a program developed and designed based on feedback from our employee engagement survey that we needed to close some leadership gaps that were identified in our engagement survey. And so we use DDI, Development Dimensions International, as the content vendor for the leadership program, so we weren't having to create the course content from scratch. But essentially, all people leaders go through the program. Even our C-suite went through an abridged version of the program, so that way they were on board with what all of the leaders below them would be taking. And it is a continuous journey. So we're on step 4, and we're in year 2.5, 3 of the program. And so folks will take 2 days worth of courses and then come back a few months later and take their last 2 days. And that's step 1. And those are the introductory courses, where we mainly do those in person, and folks will come to Houston to take those. However, we did pivot last year with the oil market being down. We do offer it virtually as well for those that are unable to travel from the various locations, or if there's something at the refineries going on where they can't travel, we can deliver virtual. Once they complete that, then they go through a set of a virtual series. And again, all DDI content. They have to choose, there's 5 courses, one of which is required on conversations to inspire performance, because we continuously want to enhance the way we do performance management here. And so then they have 2 additional courses they can choose from, trying to give them the autonomy of, if I don't really want to take this class, but this one really speaks to me, I can choose this. I'm not forced to go sit in a class that I don't necessarily want to take. And then once they've completed that, this year, they will be taking some courses through our online e-learning vendor, which is BizLibrary, and they have a 30-minute mentor series. And what's really cool about that is it's over 100 courses at this point, and it's different executives from across all organizations and across all industries, and they're giving their 30-minute mentor on what it is about leadership that they want to talk about or that they love. And so rather, again, than give them a prescribed, you have to take these, we say, we're saying take one per quarter and pick one. We just want you to hear from someone that resonates with you about how they're carrying on their leadership in that way. And so kind of going from a very large, we're always in front of them, to a more self-paced learning environment, and we'll continue to move through that. And every year, anyone hired into CITGO as a leader, whether they've been a leader or not before, or promoted into leadership, will go through the beginnings of the program. So I think we have about 70 folks going through the program this year.
And it's a nascent program. It's the first year, or it's the first, we're in the 2.5 years, but you haven't, yeah, you don't have a graduating class yet.
Well, technically, I would say the first step, which is 2 times coming to Houston, that was really our initial graduating class. And so that was the foundational of the program. So I think to date, I just ran those numbers, I think we've had over 600 people go through the training since 2023.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's not nascent at all. I misunderstood. That's, and actually 2023 wasn't that long ago, so you've made a lot happen in that short amount of time for a lot of people.
A lot of facilitation, yes.
What's the AI incorporation into that?
So that's actually really interesting as well. So we've started to incorporate AI where we can about different leadership conversations and trying to draw up scenarios where we find our leaders asking the most questions. Like, I have a performance, I need to address someone's performance. I need to address this. How do I best have that conversation? So we've leveraged the DDI planners that they have for conversation, but then we try to play it out. And what's even better is that the vendor is actually rolling out their own AI component that later on this year that we will get to leverage, where it's an interactive with AI. So you can practice the conversation, and then you're going to have the conversation, and it will kind of like grade you based on, okay, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have said that, or this was a great use of the interaction guidelines and helping to make sure that you reinforce their self-esteem and clarified and all of those pieces. So we'll be using that later on this year when it rolls out, but we've been using our own creativity within Copilot until that goes live.
Maybe you don't want to answer this relative to your vendor DDI, but do you think you're teaching DDI too about add value that they can provide to organizations that adopt their subscription or their product?
Oh, I think so. I think the partnership is very much a two-way street. And I would venture to say that's how most clients would feel about their DDI subscription. We have consultants, we meet monthly to interact on what's working, what's not working. We actually got to beta test some of the things that are coming out. So they really do listen to what customers are looking for and wanting. And then we get to get our hands dirty in the sandbox and help create it along the way, which is fun.
Well, everybody's learning, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think when we talked, you talked about it's kind of caused a culture shift.
I think that it is a little bit, because I think people are starting to get rid of the heartburn around AI and more so adopting it and realizing that this is going to help supplement what you're doing, or it's going to make something a little bit easier than how you were going about doing it before. And it's not something that will replace you. You really can't replace the human aspect of leadership. You can't replace the human aspect of talent, at least in my humble opinion. However, having something at your fingertips where you can write in a prompt to help something be more succinct or help it sound more powerful in less words, because I'm a very wordy human and I sometimes need to make it more succinct, it has helped me craft messages that get to the point and really drive home what we're looking for. I think it can help all leaders in those aspects. And I think it's something to continue to reinforce and adopt across any part of your organization.
AI isn't just coming, it's here. But for HR and L&D leaders, the real challenge isn't the technology. It's translating AI into workforce capability and leadership behavior. At Talent in the Age of AI, we center everything around one question. So what? What does AI actually mean for how you develop people and prepare your organization? Don't just react to change, lead it. Become a member today at talentintheageofai.com.
How hard did you have to push up to the C-level to get them to trust it was going to be okay and that we're not going to just have a bunch of robots on board. And no, we can't fire everybody, by the way.
Right. For me, it wasn't hard because our IT team was a little bit at the forefront of saying, hey, we're starting to see people use this in different pockets of the organization. Here are the parameters. And I will say that my leader is very open to doing things efficient and effective. So as long as I'm not using proprietary content or, you know, giving out someone's personal information, it's as long as we're staying within bounds, we can test it out, you know, and showing and proving that it works before we adopt it, which that hasn't seemed to pose a problem yet.
Well, you know, there's new titles like AI manager and AI prompt manager. And so I think you said something about the human element, where the myth story 2-3 years ago was we don't need people anymore. It's actually, we need people. We just need people that know how to leverage, enhance, engage with AI to do their jobs better. Mm-hmm. And that can be a big boon to productivity in an organization when that happens, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, even outside the course and scope of my, you know, day-to-day where you're looking at talent functions, running reports and tying them all together, I know enough Excel to be dangerous, but I don't know all the codes. And so rather than watching a training video, I plugged into Copilot yesterday. This is what I'm trying to do. What formulas can I use to do that? And my, you know, one day of trying to not throw my computer out the window turned into 5 minutes of plugging in a code, and voila, all my data was tied together. I was like, huh, like if I just would have used it sooner and tried to not do it all by myself. So it's more of, you know, making sure that you can basically try anything on Copilot. It may not spit out exactly what you want, depending on how you prompt it, but you can make your life a lot easier if you just let go a little bit.
And then your brain power in maybe 4 more hours, but it's really checking those numbers at Excel before you present it to leadership and say you believe in what that spreadsheet is saying.
Yeah,
but you
absolutely
didn't have to spend your valuable time figuring out shortcuts of Excel.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. You know, you still have to validate the data. Just like any of the prompts that we've written for scenarios for people to play, it's like, let's read through it. Yes, it makes sense. Let's tweak these words. These are not things that we would normally say here at CITGO, right? So you can retool and hone in on the different wording that's used in the prompt, but holistically you can take 90, sometimes 100% of it, but at least 90% of it, and then retool it to fit what you need, but it still gives you something versus having to create everything from scratch every time you do something.
Oh, the old days, or having 2 assistants that knew how to do that. And so there are some efficiencies in labor pool, but there's actually, I don't know this, you did a job satisfaction survey, you said, and can you imagine when people can feel like they're really adding value that matters versus value in creating a spreadsheet? I appreciate all the people in my life that can put them together, but it's just got to be more exciting to take data that has been put together for you and some relationships, but then use your brain to say, I don't know if that's exactly right or if that makes a lot of sense, or wow, that is so insightful. I may not have gotten to that myself with those numbers. So I think employee engagement, satisfaction on the job would be enhanced with AI in when people feel comfortable using it.
I would say so. I think it also shifts, I think it in some ways shifts people to feel more empowered as doing more strategic work at an individual contributor level. Because sometimes you get into the individual contributor levels and where you're wanting to move into leadership, you're not able to move up based on hierarchical structure, just the nature of the role itself. But being able to do more strategic thinking because you used a tool that allowed you more efficiency and time at work only sets you up for future development when you do move into a leadership role and you are spending significant more time in a strategic zone and lens versus a transactional.
Yeah, applying the goals and what you've been told everyone wants at CITGO and the culture and where we're headed and the kinds of business we want and who we target. But you're just leveraging it almost like an assistant or two,
mm-hmm,
and via Copilot to pull that information for you that's relevant relative to those goals. Then you get to go present killer strategies and impress. You know, I've read that CEOs, they solve problems all day long. They're brought problem, 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 mm-hmm. solve my problem. What they die for is ideas, right. Proactivity, someone to say, wow, I looked into this. What if we went over here? And, you know, that's what's made big businesses is that rounding out the edges and seeing, wow, this is the new flavor. This is the new market. This is the new drum for oil. I mean, you know, because they have all the resources at their fingertips now. I'm a big believer, obviously, and I love how you and your team have adopted it. And I feel like you're getting good uptake among the employees who participate. They're not uncomfortable or fight you?
No, I mean, we've had some folks are, you know, just as anyone, you have your early adopters and you have your those that are not so, you know, crazy about it yet. But each time we've introduced it in different facets, whether it's, you know, through our FGL program or leader labs or things of that nature, it's like, here's how you can incorporate it. Here's a prompt that we use. You can try this exact prompt or you can go try something on your own. We've started to see more people play outside the confines of what we've given them. And then we see those that were kind of reluctant at first, seeing others use it. So they use the prompt and go, ooh, okay. So like maybe I'll dabble. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the entire group of folks that we have come in contact with are all adopting it. That would be a far-fetched answer. But I feel like overall people are leveraging it more and more than we anticipated. And it is catching on as an efficiency tool, especially when it comes to like goal setting and helping with performance conversations and things like that, because those are hard and you really have to get the words right for that. And sometimes you can't find the right words. So you type what you want and then you ask Copilot for help on wording and it turns your words into what you want to say, but you couldn't get out yourself.
Oh, I love that because we're not all writers. We're not all crafters of messages, but we know how we feel about something or how we feel we need to communicate or ask for what we want, but we don't know how. So, you know, all of business is the how.
Exactly.
Exactly. And you talked about your job competencies, helping creating them. And you talked about a 500 character limit in some of your forms, et cetera. Well, 500 characters, not even words, and not very many.
It's not. We use the character limitation for our goal setting because we, again, just like myself included, I'm in this camp of people. I can't just make it concise. I write like big paragraphs and it's like, you need to control that. And so is right, you know, make a goal that is clear, concise, follows that smart-ish type of goal, right? And see what comes out, but it cannot be over 500 characters. And so that's helped as well. Our platform internally that we use SuccessFactors, they have an AI component as well. We have not turned that on yet. There's a lot of testing that needs to be done internally because when you turn it on for one part, it turns it on for the whole system. And there's higher risk outside of my role that we haven't turned it on yet. But when we do, it'll actually do it within the platform versus having to go out to Copilot to help with your wording. So it's everywhere. I mean, every vendor we use seems to have it. So it's just a matter of when we adopt it and how, not a matter of, you know, what to do. We already have so many vendors that have it ready for us to use. So we've just kind of dabbled here and there and keep reinforcing how we've used it to help others use it as well.
Do you deploy it company-wide? You have people in the field, I take it, if I understand Sitco's business. And then you have people at headquarters or, you know, the field offices. So everybody has a chance to use it, get involved, especially in succession planning. They participate in the fueling leaders.
So every leader that has at least one direct report will participate in fueling good leaders. So the answer to that is yes. All exempt employees participate in our performance review process. Our hourly folks do something different because of union contract.
Right.
And that's beyond my course and scope. I don't know anything about that part. And then for succession planning, we are working to eventually get it down to any people leader can have a succession plan. And technically the portal supports it right now, but historically Sitco did not have a succession planning tool. We just rolled that out in 2024, I had to think back. And so now it's all ingrained in SuccessFactors. So we can go from the top all the way down to the frontline leadership. However, right now, based on just past, we have executives all the way down to our like a mid-level managers, and those folks participate in annual succession. But again, the goal is to eventually have it go down to all frontline supervisors as well. So we have a bench from all facets.
Do you believe your C-level, your the person you report to, do they see this as a competitive advantage?
I don't know if they see it as a competitive advantage, but I would say they see it as a necessity in order to stay competitive. Whether or not we're at the advantage, I couldn't say that one way or the other, but I know they find it necessary and that we need to continue to do it. So we get support from that angle.
I really love that. And Sarah, I'm so grateful that you expressed interest in hosting a webinar for our members of Talent in the Age of AI, who they could really ask you more pointed questions one-on-one or in a small group webinar setting, and to just tell them more, because you are a leader in this. You were, talk about crossing the chasm, one of the early adopters, and that's not really, it's not really in the DNA of a lot of people in HR anyway, or maybe talent and development more so, but it's not only wanting to do it, it's knowing how to do it and for whom, among whom. We've talked to some other guests that say the adoption of AI among women is lower than that of men. And we can all talk to the generations of people saying, I'm not going to do that. And it's a perception of it's lazy, it's cheating. Let's get down to the real motivation there. It's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, you tried it. And you thought it was kind of cool. And I think your brain allowed you to think, how can this work toward my job every day, succession, development, leadership, reviews, et cetera. When you thought about having this interview today, did we cover everything you thought we would cover, or is there more you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered a lot in a short amount of time. I don't think that we missed anything. I definitely don't. But I do agree with you, though, on... And we talked about this, the generational pieces and the, you know, males versus females. But I think that the biggest thing that people need to come away from this is that you can't fail in the Copilot Chat GPT AI world. Because, yeah, your prompt may fail, but it doesn't mean that you can't use it. You just keep trying until it gives you what you want. And then once you start to learn, I can't ask it this way, you can start to use it in all, like all kinds of things. I was using it the other day with my 10-year-old son, trying to help him with a school project because he can't type very fast. I said, buddy, use AI and use the voice component. Right?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, you just have to be you have to be willing to fail with it and not worry about the fact that no one else is going to know you failed.
Right. And no one gives the same prompts. And so the responses won't be the same. And then we do teach AI. We're learning, but we're teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won a chili cook-off because I asked it how to zhuzh up Hormel canned chili.
And that's
I won.
Awesome.
And I was accused of cheating, but I don't care. I still made it my own.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. I have it planning my vacation to the East Coast this summer. Yeah. I typed it in. I was like, I want to go to all these places with my kids and make sure we hit all the ballparks. How do I do that? And it's like, it gave me an itinerary. It was the coolest thing.
Oh, baseball fans, huh?
Oh, yes. We were trying to hit Washington, the Nationals, Yankees, Red Sox, and Baltimore Orioles in one fell swoop.
What a memorable trip. Well, Sarah Touchard from CITCO, the Manager of Talent Leadership Development, I'm so grateful for your valuable time today. I love how you've shared how you not only embrace the philosophy of what AI can do in productive employees and succession planning and leadership development, but that you've shared your practices. It's so helpful for those of your peers who have tuned in to Talent in the Age of AI, and we're very grateful, and we look forward to the webinar to come.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to come on today.
Thanks for listening to Talent in the Age of AI. If this conversation gave you new ways to grow in your own work and to better support your people, follow the show and share it with others in your HR and talent network. Members get even more. Full episode transcripts, extended show notes, and companion resources to help you put these insights into action. Learn more and join us at talentintheageofai.com. We're here to help leaders create, curate, and connect what's needed to build tomorrow's workforce today. See you next time.